Your story is your testimony, not your identity. Shift your mindset, elevate your perspective, become who God called you to be. This is the journey of you. Welcome to the journey of you, the place where faith meets growth and where courage rises to rewrite the stories that once tried to define you. I'm your host, Tonya D. Bennis, coach, author, communicator, and a companion on this path of becoming, committed to helping you step fully into your God-given identity. Each week, we slow down long enough to hear what heaven is whispering. Together, we peel back the doubts, the old labels, and the limits that life tried to place on you. Here, you learn to shift your mindset and elevate your perspective so you can walk heart first into purpose, clarity, and the kind of confidence that is birthed from truth, not tension or trauma. This is your invitation to breathe deeper, think higher, and see yourself the way God sees you, loved, called, and full of possibility. So wherever you are, settle in. Your journey is unfolding, and you don't have to walk it alone. Hello, Journey of You family. How are y'all doing today? I want to talk to you a little bit about the importance of community. I will tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a really, really rough spot. I had several activities planned for the day, but when I opened my eyes that morning, I just felt overwhelmed, just with life, with all of the things that I was feeling, things I was carrying, with the things I was just facing at that time. And, you know, every time I wake up, I try to just, you know, focus on the different verses I have on the wall right next to my bed and just thanking God for another day, for the gift of life, which is, of course, why they call it the present. But really just thankful, you know, for breath in my lungs and a beat in my heart and just, you know, for life itself. But this particular morning, you know, I had already thanked God for blessing me with life, and I had thanked him for another day, but I was just physically and emotionally and mentally just overwhelmed, and I needed to get out of the bed, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And my phone is normally across the room on the charger, and I don't remember how it ended up next to me or if I went and grabbed it. I'm not sure, but somehow it was in my hand. And oh, I know what it is. I got up to go use the bathroom, and I grabbed it because I was gonna look at my devotional for the day and, you know, just double check to see what all was on my calendar for the day. But then I seen that I had missed a call from my mom and my sister on Messenger, that they were actually on one actively and that I could still join. And so I hit join, and, you know, they were just talking and stuff and, you know, chuckling about different things and what they were going to do for the day. And I don't know. I just started crying. And my mom immediately went to praying, just immediately. And she was covering me in prayer, which obviously is needed. But it was like I was still stuck and I couldn't get out of the bed. And my sister was like, hang on, you know, let her process through what she's feeling. And, you know, let's walk through this together. And I just had to like stop and breathe. And I just had to keep telling myself, breathe. Breathe. And, you know, I got up and went to the bathroom, and I stood there and leaned against the wall and was just like, breathe, you have to breathe. And, you know, my sister is really good about like asking you pointing questions, even in the midst of whatever you're feeling and walking through, and helping you to like get to the root cause or figure out like what is the real issue or what are you feeling and why are you feeling that way. And so, you know, I calmed down, I did my hair, threw on some sweats, and we were supposed to be decorating the church that morning for Christmas, which is something I love to do. It's my favorite time of year to decorate, from the beautiful colors of fall to just the joy of the Christmas season. I really enjoy that. And so I threw my hair in a bun, and I had some wispy, twisted bangs that I clearly had slept on, but I was like, whatever. And she was like, are you gonna do something to those bangs? I was like, nope, I'm going just like this.
And so I just tucked them behind my ears and I went down to the garage and started pulling down some of the extra decorations that had been collecting dust for years. And I made sure to pull out the stuff that was sentimental that I wanted to keep. But I was like, I can totally donate the rest of this. And so I started loading it all in the car, and I drove to the church. And by now, my dad had heard us talking, and he heard my mom say something. He was like, "Wait, let me join the conversation to make sure I can speak for myself." It was so funny. And so they just had me chuckling, and that made me start to feel a little bit better. And my brother joined as well from Germany. And so we all chatted for a few minutes, and by then, everybody started pulling up to the church, so it was time to get out. And I walked in and I started unloading the car, and several people pulled up and started unloading stuff that they brought too. And it was like we turned on Christmas music, and I don't know, it was just like so much fun. And so we assessed what all we had based on what everybody brought to donate. And then we were like, okay, this is where we're gonna put the three trees, this is how we're gonna do it. And everybody just kind of went to work. And it was just fun. And as we put the tree together and started putting up lights and things, I got a little bit emotional because it reminded me of like hanging lights as a kid with my dad in the morning after Thanksgiving, climbing up to the attic to go get all the Christmas stuff and bringing it down. And, we were not allowed to put any of it up until the day after Thanksgiving. Probably side note why, as an adult, I do everything November 1st. Halloween is over. It's like, okay, we're done with fall. I'm moving on to Christmas because I want to have time to enjoy it. I feel like it's a lot of work to put stuff up the day after Thanksgiving and then have to take it right back down a few weeks later. And so I want to have time to enjoy it. So that's why I started doing it on November 1st instead when I became an adult. But anyway, it just reminded me of that. And so, that made me a little emotional. But it was just so much fun. And I was only planning on being there for a couple of hours because I was like, okay, I have a Friendsgiving to get to at 1. I've got to make sure that I prepare my entree and dessert so that I can, show up ready. But it was just fun being in community and being around other people who enjoyed it. My daughter and my grandson showed up and it was just so much fun. And so it was like I didn't actually leave there until like 12:35. Mind you, I said my Friendsgiving was at 1. Thankfully all of this was local to the house. So I ran to the grocery store and picked up a couple of whole chickens and an apple pie and some Cool Whip. Yeah, and so I ran home and dropped off the cookie dough that I knew I was going to need later for the cookie bake at my house. And I got there with only I was like a couple of minutes late, which I hate to be late, but I was glad I was the first one there, so it was all good. And then everybody else showed up, and so we had fun and we ate. We prayed, of course. It's normally our book group, but this particular day, since it was November, we were like, we're going to do a Friendsgiving, and we'll save the book study itself for the next time we get together. And so everybody came and brought, the goodies they said they were going to bring. And so we ate. And the host was like, oh, well, make sure you guys save room for dessert. And we had all eaten plenty because we tried some of everything that everybody brought. And I was like, I don't know if we're going to have room for dessert. But she was like, follow me. And so we started going downstairs to the basement. I was like, I wonder why I'm going downstairs because that's like her husband's man cave. And when we got down there, my birthday had been 2 days before. And one of the other young ladies in the group, her birthday had been like the week before. And so when we got downstairs, there was two bouquets of balloons. And they had a huge chocolate cake that said happy birthday with both of our names on it. And at the table, y'all, they were totally speaking my love language, okay? Because there were six canvases set up so that each of us could sit and paint. There was wine, of course. I don't drink, so I had juice. But it was kind of like our own live sip and strokes right at home. And there was paintbrushes and pencils and markers and paint and watercolors and just it was like use your imagination. It's a blank canvas, do what you want. So a couple of us immediately went to Pinterest for design inspiration, and then we just started to draw, and it was just so much fun. Like, of course, I legitimately cried because it was just like, oh man, like you guys have no idea. Like, they had already prepared it in advance, and I didn't know it. And my mom even said that morning, if you don't feel like going anywhere, just stay at home. You just tell them, no, you can't do any of it today. And I was like, first, I signed up for all of these things. And my sister was like, yeah, in the moment it sounds good, but then the day of it's like, oh my gosh, overwhelming because you have all this stuff. But I was like, no, I need to go. It's not healthy for me to stay in the house and just sit in all of this that I'm dealing with. I need to go. And it reminded me of the scripture of Proverbs 11:25, that in the New International Version it says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." In the English Standard Version it says, "Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." If you were looking at the King James Bible, it would say, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." And I gotta tell you that it was very refreshing. One, to just be celebrated and loved on and poured into. And I just was like, thank you, Lord. I mean, it was a wonderful time with friends. And it was supposed to be from 1 to 3 because I had the cookie bake that I was hosting at my own house at 5, which half of the people that were with me at the Friendsgiving were also supposed to come to my house for the cookie bake. And they were like, "We got to be able to let you go so you have time to set up." And my husband was like, "Hey, aren't you going to come home to help get everything ready?" And I was like, "Nah, you and the kids are there. Y'all can handle it. I'll be there when I leave here." And so it was 4:45 when I left my friend's house. Now, thankfully, we live in the same neighborhood, only one street over, so it was totally fine. And so I drove home, started baking cookies, and waited everybody to come, which most people didn't show up till about 5:30, 5:35. So it actually worked out well. Some came with treats already baked. And some brought treats to bake. Everybody came in the door with their cookie dough, which was part of the instruction. And so, yeah, we had sugar cookies and we had frosting and sprinkles for everybody to decorate, which we thought would be a big hit for the kids that were there. But even all the teenagers did a competition to see who could decorate their sugar cookie the best. So that was pretty funny. And so, yeah, we ate cookies and we just talked and laughed. We played Christmas music. And then we did Christmas trivia, and it was guys against the girls, which we were neck and neck. But I will say, the last couple of questions, the guys took the lead, and so they won by like 3 points, but not a major, major win. Okay. I know y'all thinking it's a win nonetheless. But it was a really good time. And every person that I invited to come, every single one of them showed up, all the whole family. It was 5 families, and all 5 families came. And we actually still had like 7 things of cookie dough left in the refrigerator by the time we were done that we hadn't even cooked. But everybody got to leave with their tins full of cookies that they wanted. And so it was a really, really good time. And so overall, it was a really fantastic day. And then the next day, I got up and went to church. And I had to volunteer that day. And I was actually a week early because I thought that that was the day we were supposed to dress up in our holiday colors of green, white, and red. But it was actually supposed to be on December 1st. And so I was just a week early, but whatever. And then we went to see the light show that evening and rode through the lights, which is one of my favorite things to do during the holiday season. And so it was just really, really a good weekend. And so I said all that to say that there is power in community, and the enemy wants us to be isolated. He wants you to wake up feeling overwhelmed and anxious and having a hard time getting out of the bed. And I don't know how the day would have turned out if I hadn't have joined the call with my mom and my sister. I don't know what it would have been like if I was just like, I'm not going to go do any of the things. But I will say that when I commit to something, I do commit to it. And so eventually, I'm sure I would have gotten out of the bed, but it just helped to lift my spirits, and to get me going. And that's the importance of community, because when you're isolated, it's just you and your thoughts. And if you don't have the strength or, the might to open your Bible or to open your mouth and pray and to ask God for help, you could get stuck there. And I've been there. And that's where the enemy wants you to be, because then he can torment you. And then you are spending less and less time in your word, less and less time talking to God, and you're feeling defeated. But we fight from victory, not for victory. And so, because of that, we need other people in our life. I mean, God even said in Genesis that it's not man good for man to be alone. That's why he made Eve. Like, we are made for community with each other. He gives each of us gifts, for the edifying of the saints and building of the kingdom. And when he sent his disciples out, he sent them out 2 by 2. It also tells us in other scriptures, woe to him that's alone, because if you fall, then the other person can help pick you up if it's cold outside. At least if the two of you are sitting together, you can keep each other warm. There are various reasons. You know, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. There's strength in numbers. It even tells you about the threefold cord that's not easily broken when it's you and someone else, and Jesus is right there in the center. And so it's important to have community and to not do life alone. And community might look different for each person. It could be your church group, it could be a friend group, it could be a group at work, it could be a group you volunteer with, it could be your siblings or extended family. Like, it really is up to you, in determining, you know, if it's a sports group or whatever. Whoever it is that makes up your community, but making sure that it's people who are going to give you good godly advice and that are going to pray with you when you need it and help hold up your arms, just like they did for Moses when he was getting tired, but they kept his arms up. You know, they carried the load together. And also remembering that you're supposed to cast your care on the Lord because he cares for you. And it's when we're weak that he is strong, that we can lean on him and his strength because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We don't have to do it in our own might and our own strength. We can't. And it's in those times that we do feel overwhelmed, that we're trying to control it or trying to figure out or trying to make it happen, or we're toiling when we just need to be resting in him. And I know that that is easier said than done, but I just want to remind you that God is there and he cares and he wants to help you. And so you've got to let him do that. He's ready and willing and waiting, but you've also got to make an effort. And as you draw close to him, he's going to draw close to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you that you are right here with us, walking with us each and every step of the way, and that there are even times that you're carrying us when we don't have the strength or the might to carry ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for our communities. Thank you for those we are connected to. Thank you for our tribes, Lord. And for those divine connections that you've placed in our life to help hold us up and uplift us and encourage us, as well as correct us and hold us accountable when we need that too, and to be able to give us that nudge to keep moving forward to become who you've created us to be. We thank you, Father, for your word, that it won't return to you void, Lord. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen. And we thank you for your unconditional love, Father, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that there's nothing we can do that can separate us from your love. I pray over each and every person that's listening today, Lord, that they know that they don't have to be in isolation, that you remind them that you're with them right now, Lord, that the right person reaches out to talk to them or text them or want to come by and see them, Lord, that they know that they don't have to do life alone, that they are not alone, and that you've already given them the victory, Lord. I pray that you cover them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet and remind them of the armor that they're already carrying and the power and anointing that you've placed inside of them, Lord. May your spirit rise up in them, Father, and lead and guide them in the direction that you want them to go and help them to overcome because this too shall pass. We ask these things in your sweet Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that it blessed you. Love to hear more about what you're facing or even the joys of the community that you have around you and how they've supported you. You can drop it in the comments below and let's keep the conversation going. Remember, this is your journey. It's where your life begins. Thanks for being here on the journey of you. If this episode blessed you, take a moment to connect with me, whether through email, Substack, or the contact page at tonyadbenis.com. I'd love to walk alongside you with encouragement and truth for your journey. Until we meet again, stay rooted in faith, anchored in purpose, and bold in who you are becoming.